Today is a part of our Christmas message. We're going to be celebrating communion. And if you're new with this, I just want to give you a little bit of information. One, it doesn't matter whether you're a part of this church or not, as long as you belong to Jesus Christ, you're welcomed and encouraged to participate in communion, a celebration ultimately of why he came. And so I just want to share with you how we do that here at The Rock in case you're new with us. When it comes to that time in the service later, I'll start in the mat back and I'll begin to send people forward by row. And so if you're seated on this side, you're just simply going to come down this side of the row. We will have broken the loaf. And I love the way we do it here. We started doing this years ago. You actually reach up and you just tear a piece of the loaf. It kind of reminds us that Christ was broken for us personally. You dip your piece of bread just into the juice, the edge of it into the juice. You partake right here, and then you go back around the outside to your row. And so, and you'll see others doing it. You'll be able to just follow along. So I just want you to be aware that that's coming. We've been in our Christmas mini-series titled The Wonders of His Love. In this series, we've been celebrating the whole nature of God, the Trinity and the coming of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two Sundays ago, Pastor Joe focused on the heart of the Father in the coming of Jesus. Last week, we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit as Christ was conceived in Mary. Today, we celebrate the birth of Jesus and communion. We celebrate that he came and why he came. In Luke chapter 2, I want to read to you, the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, as we bow before you this morning, as we celebrate your coming, the beginning of your story is so overwhelmingly amazing. It just fills us with awe and wonder that you, sovereign Lord, would choose to leave the throne of heaven, to leave perfect peace and seamless harmony, to join us here in the world that we had made such a mess of. I don't know, Lord. I still grasp and grab today at what kind of love that is. It's not a love like I've ever experienced anywhere else. It's so unique. It's so self-sacrificing. It's so giving. It's so wonderful. And Lord, we want to know your love, and we want to live out your love better than we've ever lived it out before. Thank you so much, Jesus, for coming to be with us. Thank you for coming after us. We love you, Jesus. And we just want to say happy birthday. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 goes on to read that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." I never get tired of reading that, do you? What a sight it must have been when the heavens peeled back and the heavenly angels began to sing as they radiated with the untarnished splendor and gave incomparable glory to God. Beams of light, voices praising God, glory, glory, glory to God in the highest. What a night it was. What a night it must have been when the earthly journey of Jesus began. And what did they proclaim? What was their message? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Good news for great joy. A Savior, a Redeemer, a Rescuer, a Deliverer. He has arrived. And that great news, they said it's great news for all people. He didn't come just for the Jewish people, not just for a select few. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Great news, great joy for all people. A Savior has been born to you. And he wasn't just supernaturally beamed in. I mean, he did come with a supernatural conception, but from there forward, he came very naturally. While he may have enjoyed the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem while nestled in Mary's womb, that rocking back and forth that often puts a baby to sleep during the day but seems to keep them awake at night for those expectant moms. I mean, we don't know whether she walked. We do see her on a donkey. We really don't know, but there was a journey. And then when they arrived in Bethlehem, they weren't there very long before there was another journey. This journey was very short, but it was going to be arduous, just like for any baby. Soon, very soon, God Almighty, in the presence of Jesus, will literally breathe the air we breathe. And we will be able to say, he is here, God with us, Emmanuel. We mentioned earlier that today we celebrate both that he came and why he came. There is another place that we find the birth story in the New Testament, but really it's almost never read at Christmas. Not because it isn't beautiful or because it isn't powerful. It's very powerful. But I think there are two reasons. First, it's not soft and it doesn't really picture the manger scene and the stable. The second is this part of the birth narrative really issues a challenge to those of us who know Jesus. It's a very direct challenge, not just to read about the birth story, but there's a part of the birth story that we can literally become, something that can be birthed in us. And it's from Philippians chapter 2, where the scripture tells us that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He literally emptied himself. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and was made in human likeness. What is that, friends? Well, it's the backstory. Not just that he came, but it points out where he came from and that he made himself nothing, that he was made in human likeness. It's the birth narrative. It's just from a birthright perspective. Almighty God became mightless, without power to defend even his own life. God became totally dependent on the heartbeat of a young lady. God had an umbilical cord, just like every other child. He was dependent on the life of a young lady to breathe air for him, to take in nutrition for him, his well-being. He was totally dependent on the life of another. Can you imagine that? The totally independent one became totally dependent on a human life. What we lost in the garden when we asserted our independence from God, God brought back to us when he became totally dependent on one little lady. Humility, humble dependence. Our attitude should be the same as that of Jesus. That's the tough part. He didn't hold on to his rights. We hold on to our rights. He didn't hold on to his place. We hold on to our place. He didn't hold on to his privileges. We hold on to our privileges. But he made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant. He laid aside not just his standing, but his sovereign rights. He laid aside his right to be worshipped, his right to be adored. He laid aside his right to be called worthy, 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 and holy, holy, holy. His right to be served, but instead he dressed up like a servant and served others in love. This narrative says that he made himself nothing. The great I am took on the very nature of a servant. He stooped down to us when we should have been bowing to him. And there's a call for those of us who know him, for those of us who follow him, to be like him. Yet we're so afraid of being taken advantage of, so afraid of being used, so afraid of just being a doormat in life for others to wipe their feet on. But Jesus became a doormat for all of us. He was trod on for the sins of the world. Your sin, my sin, were all wiped off onto him. And then he says, now, you have the same attitude. I don't know about you. I can have an attitude. But not so often is it that attitude, the servant's attitude. But the key to freedom is found in humble dependence on God for everything. When our identity is wrapped up in Him, we're really set free to be like Him, to give ourselves away in love. It's a mark of humility that flows from a secure heart. Philippians chapter 2 goes on to say, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We said earlier that He laid aside His sovereign rights. He laid aside His right to be worshipped, His right to be adored, His right to be called worthy, 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 and holy, holy, holy. He laid aside His right to be served and instead served others in true sacrificial love. And at the cross, He was not called worthy, and He was not called holy. He was not called invaluable, but He was called worthless, sinful, and of no value. And yet He loved any reason, any way. And though this is the season, this is the reason. Jesus humbled Himself even to the point of death on a cross. Jesus came not to give us His season, but to give us our freedom. Have you come to Jesus and been set free from the penalty of your sin? Have you come to Jesus and been set free from the power of sin? If not, why not? And why not today? There's freedom in Jesus. And I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. If you would bow your heads before the Lord of glory and pause for just a moment, whether you've believed the birth story all your life or not, whether you've been in church all your life or not, or whether this is your first time, it doesn't really matter. Jesus told us that we all must be born again. There's a point, there's a place, there's a time where we have to bow before the Lord Jesus and we have to trust what He did for us on Calvary. We have to put our faith and our trust and our belief and our hope in what He did for us on the cross, that He paid for your sin and for my sin there, and we can be forgiven when we place our faith and our trust in Him. Have you done that? And if you can't say yes, then why not today? Why not say yes? Today I'm going to place my trust in Jesus. And here's the great news that's for great joy for all people, that right where you're seated, right where you're at, you can come to Jesus. You can have a conversation with Him from your heart to His heart. Friends, you don't need me. You don't need this church building. You just need Jesus. The Scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's great news. Right where you're at, you can call on Him. So I'm going to lead in a time of prayer. I can't pray for you, but you could pray along with me right where you're at. And you could come to Jesus and be forgiven. You can carry the weight of your sin on into eternity if you want to. Wouldn't advise it. Jesus says, come to me. So you can come today. You just tell Him something like this as we pray together. Jesus, as I bow before You this morning, I confess, I admit that I've sinned, I've done wrong. I can't even really remember how much wrong that I've done in my life, but Jesus, I believe You saw all of it. And it really doesn't matter whether I'm better than some others or worse than others. It doesn't matter. I missed the mark. I sinned. I rebelled. I've done life my way. But Jesus, I believe that that is why You came. And that is why You went to the cross. You went there to pay for my sin so that I wouldn't have to pay for it myself. So this morning, Lord Jesus, as I bow before You, I ask You to forgive me. And I place all of my faith, all of my hope, all of my trust in You, Lord Jesus. I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to save me. And I ask You to make me Yours forever. And I thank You, Jesus, for hearing my prayer this morning. And I thank You for forgiving me on the basis of what You did in my place. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me. Thank You for coming 2,000 years ago as a child. And thank You for going to that cross to pay for my sin. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. If you came to Christ this morning, I want to encourage you that as we come to the time in our service where we participate in communion, that this can be your first communion as a believer. You have something to celebrate this Christmas, and you can celebrate in a way that you've never celebrated before.
As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mountain of Olives.
You could be seated for just a moment, but I want to encourage in your hearts not to, leave this moment with God, who's holy and worthy and wonderful. And as you continue to think about Him and think about this season, I want to ask a favor of you. It's actually something I ask every Sunday, and that is the privilege to pray for you, personally. And so if you're a regular attender here, you know already what we didn't do at the beginning of the service is I didn't ask you to grab your bulletin. I didn't ask you to grab your prayer card, but I'm asking you right now. Would you get your bulletin? Would you get that prayer card? Would you tear that off? And at least put your first name on there. If you don't want to write anything else on there, that's fine. Just put your first name on there. And then underneath, there's a space to write. It's a connection card on one side. So if you want to get your address to me, I'll get that to administrative assistant in the office, and we can put you on our mailing list and our email list. But the main thing I want is the other side, the prayer card side. It's confidential. Nobody else reads that. It stays with me during the course of the week. And I go through the cards one by one from all three services, and I pray for each person. So would you take just a moment and put your name on that prayer card? Maybe there's something you're praising God for. I'll give thanks with you. But maybe there's something else you're asking God to touch in your life. I would love to pray for you and just agree with you and ask God to do that. So as you take a moment to listen to Him, I just want you to fill that prayer card out. And while you're doing that, I'm going to come back here and just warm my hands on the... That looks real, doesn't it? It's kind of cold like Matt. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's warm. He's warm. But I might sit by the fire. I don't know. Will it be that cold this Christmas? I don't think so. I think it's going to be up in the 70s. I love the backgrounds with all the snow flurries. It's not very Florida, but I love it. It's beautiful. But I might build a fire one evening, sit out by the fire and just pray for you. And then once I pray for you, I get rid of those cards. They're confidential. Just fill that out. Have it ready. In just a moment, we're gonna wrap up our time together. Now, before you go, I want to do one more thing. I want to bless you in the name of the Lord. I want to pray over you a blessing that's found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, called the Aaronic blessing. And then just a few words of blessing from my heart to the Lord on your behalf. So if you would just bow before the Lord for just a moment. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And may the light of His love shine on your hearts this Christmas like no Christmas ever before. May He bless you, and may you be a blessing in His name to those around you. Amen and Merry Christmas. Now take a moment and say hello to someone that you don't know, and I will see you Christmas Eve, 9 o'clock. God bless you, church.